This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville on FUBAR Radio.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what's up, nigga?
Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Living this American dream.
No fucking games, nigga. Machine, bitch. Zelda. DJ Premier.
You know this.
Look, I don't beef on the internet, I approach you. I ain't shooting five with a nigga, I gotta smoke you. My dog said his box just landed, he got his load through. Drive-by music, this shit he can pop his toast to. This chopper smoking it, adios you. My buzz by a coast to. Took the game over like I supposed to. I'm in position you cannot get close to. I got shot in my throat, still got four classics at my disposal. And the bitches admire my ways. I was wilding inside of a cage, now I set fire to stage. Every verse recited his wave, and I ain't writing a page. Hardest nigga out till I lie in my grave. Cook the white up in the microwave. You at work trying to get holiday pay. I'm on the island for days, getting money like Big Meech 06. This Griselda DJ Primo shit.
Hey, yo, rich Lord, poor Lord, read the headlines. 04, me and Sheen going back in dimes. Coke spotter had at least 100 in a line. Sell another brick and we cop a twin five. Hey, yo, out of Daytona, Rolex Daytona. Fiend hit it once, fell out into a coma. Sean Elliott, Mac 10s out the Rover. Might shoot 32 times for the culture. Niggas back a boy, rock a lover boy. Undercover, they put turn the oven on. It only had two bodies, I put another on. Boom. We sold 1,000 bricks after summer gone. Drive in 45 with the potato lie in the right hand. Die in first, the burgers flew on the high end. The prices won't drop unless you buy 10. Hopped off the Lamborghini, girl, it's like Godfish. In my cell reminiscing when I used to time pitch. The rhyme sick, K in the bench ain't Waitridge. How you doing, fly golf, same shit, bigger back. Cocaine killing it with the dealer tag. Lord, poor Lord, read the headlines. 04, me and Sheen gone was back in dimes.
Yeah.
Coke spotter had at least 100 in the line. Sell another brick and we cop a twin five.
I skip town with the money. My bitch the accountant. You ever try to board a plane with a brick in your outfit? You know I work hands on. Had to sit in them houses. Learn from real drug dealers, not from internet browsing. Who cook the food in the kitchen that they fill in their mouth with?
Me.
The head of West like Dion when he split with the Falcons. Look at me and see a vision of Malcolm.
Yeah.
Slightly grinning, but long as we keep winning. And I can live with the outcome. Drake had Rihanna, Mike had Madonna.
What else?
But I drove a few bricks through the Carolinas.
Woo.
It's true that they underestimate you when you're modest. So I'm fronting on them every chance I get, to be honest. Never ask about Griselda, they tell you that we the hottest. Flip wherever I can sell you, cause failure won't be an option. Yeah, I sold the block together like a seamstress. And I live to rap about it on Supreme
hey,
shit.
Yo, rich,
let's go.
Poor Lord, read the headlines. 04, me and Sheen gone was back in dimes. Coke spotter had at least 100 in a line. Sell another brick and we cop a twin fives.
The proper way to say it, but only if I can. The proper way to say it, but only if I can. The proper way, the proper way, the way, the proper way, the proper way, the proper way to say it, but only if I can.
That's the ridiculously hip-hop headlines. DJ Premier featuring Westside Gunn, Conway and Benny.
That's
listen,
the hip-hop I love.
That is the definition. If you opened up a dictionary audio book and you would look for the definition of hip-hop, that song would play.
For sure.
You know, songs like that.
Exactly.
You know, Boom by Royce da 5'9". They would all be Primo beats. That's the thing.
Do you know what, like, the first beat, like, because, like, back in the day, you know, you could, like, download music legally and also illegally. I wanted some instrumentals to write raps to, innit?
Oh, so, man, like, that was the thing.
So I got a DJ Premier instrumental. I can't remember which tune it was, but I written so many bars to that.
You had to.
They were probably dead, but
like, they probably weren't. If they were inspired by DJ Primo production.
On the flow, just flowing on the beats.
Mm.
You get me?
He's the barometer. He's the benchmark of hip hop production for me.
But it's interesting when we've had other people come on the show that are maybe slightly younger that don't mention him when talking about producers.
Yeah, of course. You're going to get that though, you know. There's people that probably haven't heard very many Neptune's beats, you know,
it's true.
Hard
they,
as that is to
they
believe.
Probably don't even think Pharrell produces beats. They're like,
well, that guy that sang Happy.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Well, the
it's
guy
like
with
that.
The big hats. Oh, scene.
On the Robin Thicke guy.
Yeah, do you know what I'm saying?
Probably not wouldn't good. Even know that.
Not good for him.
Time moves so quickly now that Blurred Lines has become Blurred Memories.
Good, thank God.
You know?
Thank God.
Thank God, actually, yeah, because they're if not the rapiest lyrics I've ever heard.
Come on, they are they.
They are very rapey lyrics, I'm not going to lie.
It was a bit of a madness how it even became big for, like, about, what, a month? It was huge, right?
And it before, was longer than that, wasn't
not
it?
No, before people started going, hold on a minute.
Spit with.
The lyrics are weird.
There's a few songs out there that are a little bit questionable.
Blurred Lines.
Grab somebody sexy, tell them, hey. That's weird. That's a weird instruction.
That is, yeah.
Grab somebody sexy, tell them, hey.
What are they implying by blurred lines as well? Like, your vision's blurred and you're seeing what?
Yeah, it's
exactly.
True.
Well,
or technicalities.
Yeah. But maybe when someone says, you know you want it, you're like, I definitely don't know you're
maybe
that.
I can't see what's going on. Say. And true.
Well, poor Robin, though, after that, he all went a bit wrong, didn't it, for him? And he split up with his wife, Paula Patton, wasn't
didn't
it?
Didn't he get caught, like, taking a photo with his hand on some woman's bum and it was a mirror behind him and betrayed him?
Then his wife didn't want to get back with him, so he wrote a whole album of, like, love songs called Paula, which was terrible.
Oh, yeah, and
it
sold.
She didn't get back with him.
No, but stand up, but Paula, she's a buff ting. Mm-hmm. She's, like, a next-level ting.
Should have thought about that, shouldn't he?
I should have thought about that hard, Robin.
Just a thing, just when you have photos taken.
He's being a bit thick.
Don't have mirrors around you. I would say when you're having a for a photo, just check where the mirrors are on. Then don't get a photo in front of them, if that's what you're going to do.
Just don't take photos with other girls. Do you know what I mean?
Especially not somewhere where they play disco music. That looked like a place where disco is played. You don't want to be fucking around.
Mirrors everywhere.
Exactly.
We have some lovely guests coming up on the show today.
We do have some lovely guests coming on the show. They're so lovely that me being really, really forgetful almost forgot to mention them, you know. We have Bob Villain coming in.
Yeah, we've got Adrian Stone, who's actually next door right now. So
He's the first guest. That probably should have come first.
Mix it up
a little bit, yeah. And we've got Nim coming in as well. NYM, very interesting. She has been touring for years as a very important part of Paloma Faith's band, a backing vocalist, but she's striking out on her own as an artist in her own right. And we have the pleasure of chatting to her and playing her debut single, Golden.
Love that.
Big song.
Love that.
We missed it at the beginning of the show, but I want to just play you some new idents that we have for the show. And you'll work out who's voiced it. There's a lovely, lovely voice we have here.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville on FUBAR Radio.
Is that Will?
It's our very own Will Roney.
Wow.
But we've also got some of my personal favourites.
Milky Payne and Marcel Somerville on FUBAR Radio.
So that's nice. And obviously
that.
Doesn't
Aye.
Not always Milky first.
Marcel Somerville and Milky Payne.
There we go.
FUBAR Radio.
And Will, of course, he does the noise himself as well. That.
Yeah, that's actually Will. I was like, I don't know if we need the extra bit, but he insisted on it.
Yeah.
Oh, please, can you send them to me? I just like
that's
Marcel Smurvel and Milky Pain.
Yeah. That should be your voicemail greeting.
That's sick.
Well, let's catch up then. What have you been up to?
You tell us now.
Michael, your music video, The Night I'm on Mare Street, has received over 20,000 views and counting.
Yeah, over 25 now.
Oh, okay.
Which is good. It's mad because you kind of, you pit yourself sort of naturally against the kind of, the gauge through which all these new, really successful artists are kind of using, you know.
Right, and you see press releases every single week on the show, so you know the kind of language that's used, as in
Absolutely.
This many views of a video, this
exactly.
many streams.
Exactly,
yeah.
And so it can be quite daunting when you release a video and think, oh my God, how long is it going to take for this to reach six figures? How long is it going to take for this to reach this milestone, that milestone? But then you just think, no, do you know what? Fuck it, I'm just glad it's out, you know?
Bro,
I'm really glad it's out.
You know, like, because the same thing, when I dropped Day One and No, I was literally like, yo, like, I thought this would be hitting like mills like bare quick, but it don't work like that, because
really
all of these
doesn't.
guys, all of these guys that are dropping out new and they're all young and fresh, we're basically doing exactly what they're
starting
doing,
from the
but
beginning.
We're starting from the beginning.
Starting
again
from the very beginning.
All the hype that we had was like...
Exactly. We were literally just talking about, say, 15 minutes ago. Actually, we haven't even been talking for 15 minutes. The show's only been on for 9. We were talking about, like, 5 minutes ago about the fact that kids have, you know, even forgotten some of Pharrell's major achievements. And he's a superstar, for fuck's sake, you know? So how much more an artist like us... It really does have that kind of feeling of starting again,
yeah,
starting from square one. But it's good. Mm. It's nice.
Yeah, bro. Like, because really and truly, like, I've listened to the album, and the album's fire. Like, I know that the fire is coming in it. Like, so
that's it.
You know,
I think,
I mean?
As long as you believe in your own source, you just enjoy it.
That's it, bro.
Well, what was good was you celebrated by enjoying some bars of Tony's Chocolonely, and I thought, I don't know that song, Tony's Chocolonely, because I wasn't sure when he enjoyed some bars of it. But you mean Will had to instruct me that was a chocolate bar?
Yeah.
Okay, what is it?
Oh, you've never heard of Tony's Chocolonely?
No,
wow.
No,
I really want to try
Dutch
some.
Brand. I first discovered them in Amsterdam. And
why is it called Chocolonely? You eat
it
by yourself.
I think you eat it by yourself. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you have it. Yeah, you keep it all to yourself.
Oh,
I think that is the kind
that's
of
most chocolate really,
angle. No, a lot is made to share.
It's made to share.
This is quite cheeky chocolate. You know,
okay.
Fuck off, it's mine.
Okay.
Kind of thing.
Oh, nice.
You know?
Have you got spare Chocolonely? No.
You didn't bring none for the gang, though?
Yeah.
Of course not. What do I look
it's
like? Well, how old am I that I'm bringing gifts from abroad? Like, you can't go abroad yourselves.
Remember when
that kid used to go to America?
Yeah, and come back with
and
sweets.
Come back with little sweets, yeah, to share among the class.
That's
what does this look like, primary school?
I think you'll find, previous on the show, when it used to be, and Harley Sylvester was here, we both went away and brought snacks for the show from abroad.
True.
But
you lot are gassed though, isn't it? Like, you lot were super excited.
About having some Italian biscuits. I was, I'm not going
to
lie.
I'm joking. No, I do love it when people come back with stuff to share.
Marcel, when are you going away?
I'm going to Ibiza at the end of the month.
There's literally nothing to bring back from Ibiza but STIs and sun cream.
No, I'm sure you can find a local sweet.
Yeah, no, I'll bring back some like vodka.
Oh yeah, okay. That works actually. Yeah,
it would literally be branded vodka. That's what it will be called on the
label. On the label, on hand.
No fancy brands.
Bought in the same
vodka.
Shop as some Chupa Chups.
Exactly.
On the same shelf.
I'll bring back some Chupa Chups as well, just to like make
the
it.
The big massive one.
Yeah,
but if you're bringing people back gifts, bring back that head splitting.
That
you can use as a weapon.
You can't actually, yeah.
That's a
it's
weapon.
More a tool than a sweet.
It's a fucking club.
Marcel, you have been, according to this bit of paper, restarting your work as a pundit for Love Island, which has just started, right?
Restart? I wouldn't call myself a pundit. I'd call myself more like a
fucking professional.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, I've experienced it. I'm just speaking the truth to the people.
Mm.
Just so they
pundit's
know.
Your pundit's fair though, because that's what you would call someone a seasoned
it's true,
player
it's true.
On
it's true.
You know, match
I'm,
of the day.
I'm literally like Alan Shearer. I'm the Alan Shearer of Love Island.
Yeah.
That's a quote.
Ian Wright. No, I'm the Ian Wright of Love Island.
Nice.
Perfect. Well, that's a lovely quote from you. I'm the Ian Wright of Love Island. I like that.
You know what I mean?
Love that.
That's nice.
You know what I mean, I went down a hero and I've done my thing.
Okay.
Fuck it.
I know
for
you've
real.
Both been watching the show, judging by social media.
Yeah.
Good.
Do you know what, like, for me, it's been kind of like a situation where like I kind of got like a flashback because the black guy that went in there this year, Sharif, he got exactly the same thing that happened to me on the first day. Walked in, no one stood forward for him, and it was like, oh, mate, not again. And then it's just like there's been a lot of talk on like social media, Twitter, Instagram, and all that kind of stuff about said situation.
Yeah, because the argument's been raised that like diversity isn't necessarily just putting people of different colours and races in the villa together. It's about finding out what their kind of tastes are, because you've got Sharif in there, you've got Yawande in there, and then people would be like, okay, cool, like, you know, you've got a black guy and a black girl in there, but if both of their tastes are towards members of other races, then it really and then everyone else, like, say, for instance, is a white person that fancies white people mainly or
you're
only.
Just, you're just basically, you're X-ing them off right from the go. You're basically just not giving, you're not really giving them a chance to do anything.
Absolutely.
Because when it comes down to it, you're like you can say, oh, like, we've done it for diversity, but by doing that, you've basically still created an issue because that person's still not going to get picked because the person that you would imagine would go with them doesn't fancy him.
So
you know what I'm saying?
They don't ask. So do they, before you go in, when you audition and stuff, do they say, right,
that's a good
what's
question.
Your, what's your type?
So,
is it, right. what, do you have a racial
that's
type?
That's a very
all
good right, question.
So here it goes, here it goes. How would you describe yourself? So me, when I done my thing, tall, dark and handsome, because I'm tall, dark and handsome. But tall, dark and handsome to different people mean different things. Like,
so it means Greek to some people.
It can mean Greek. It can mean like dark haired. It can mean
dark
tanned.
Hair, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like
it's not a monolithic. And, it's not an absolute, is it? Being
do you know
dark.
What I mean? So if someone says like what are three things you look for in a guy, and they say tall, dark and handsome, they're gonna be like, oh, like she'll probably like Marcel then.
Yeah.
No, not necessarily. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's so they don't go as deep into your preferences.
So they don't ask you what your type is.
They do, but
they
in
do.
A
but
very
they, saying describe. You said described yourself.
Yeah, no.
Did they say to you, how would you describe your ideal?
Yeah, so what's your, how would you describe your ideal girl?
Okay,
and
ideal.
And you say, confident, funny.
Right.
Yeah. You don't like because
people
no
are
going
to avoid race and ethnicity and stuff like
they
that.
They never really ask you, do you like a person of this ethnic background? Because then it makes it look like you're angling it in that kind of direction.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So to avoid. Situations like what's happening the last four years of the show, they should really ask that question.
I mean,
but by not asking that question, it kind of like makes it not like they're obviously not thinking about race being an issue, where obviously it is.
Right. Of course, it's an issue. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know whether they could go. I don't know how it wouldn't become, or somebody would be offended by it. But if it had a kind of, I don't know. A number of kind of different looks, different races, and you were to say like that would probably be bad as well. Just say tick off everyone that you fancy. You can't really do that, can you?
Do you know what my actual thoughts were on the whole on the whole process? Because the whole process is girls, if you fancy this person, step forward. Yeah, like if no one steps forward, they still say to the guy, all right, no one stepped forward, but you still get to pick a girl.
Yeah.
So really and truthfully, the whole step forward step of it could just be cut out. They could be like, all right, Sharif, who do you fancy? He picks a girl, they pair up. If someone comes down that the girl fancies, she can step away from him still and go with a new dude. But he's just saved the kind of embarrassment and humiliation of thinking, yo, no one fancies me. Like, so the awkwardness of
that
moment is gone.
Male ego a little bit, that process as well.
Because really and truthfully, when you think about it, like for me, it was like I felt like I was starting off on the back foot because obviously I've gone in there, no one stepped forward, and I'm like, yo, no one fancies me. In my head, I'm already like I'm going home, like mentally. He was probably thinking that because if you saw his facial expressions, he was like this.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, man, like I felt for him because I could kind of understand it, and everyone that I was with while I was watching it was kind of like, yo, this is ridiculous. I don't even think I can watch this. And it was just like, and then from there, like, it's kind of just snowballed into like all kinds of madness on Twitter and stuff.
Yeah, but then the FOMO is real, isn't it?
Mm.
It's the thing. It's like you feel that even if I don't watch this because it's quite triggering, then like everyone's going to be talking about it anyway.
It's true, man.
You know,
it's true.
Well, finally, before we get our first guest into the studio, actually two things finally. In 2019, Tony's launched their chocolate bars in the United Kingdom, with Sainsbury's, Waitrose, Ocado and Whole Foods being some of the first stores to stock the product. There we are. Also, you both were unfortunate enough, along with Will from here, assistant producer, to witness Arsenal last week, who lost. I don't know if you want to.
Yeah, but then, like, you know, roll on about a week or so, and then we were fortunate enough to see Tottenham get destroyed by Liverpool in the Champions League. So swings and motherfucking roundabouts, baby. Swings and roundabouts.
Exactly.
Don't be afraid, speak your mind.
Tall Black Guy and Kevin Moore with Speak Your Mind. That was actually the perfect song to kind of tail our conversation.
It was definitely. Well, I was feeling the vibes afterwards as well.
Absolutely. Had a really, really nice sample there, didn't it?
Yeah, man.
From
So do you reckon it was a sample or do you reckon they played it? Do you reckon he just replayed the drum?
I don't know. I reckon it was a sample, personally. Yeah. It sounded exactly the same. I personally think it was. Our guest seems to think so as well. Yeah.
That bit.
Then,
a little bit more.
Yeah. I reckon that's a sample.
Okay.
Our guest seems to agree. Thumbs up from our guest. There we go. We should probably introduce said guest before people start thinking it's David Guest.
Or just no one's there and we're just imaginary guest.
David Guest is dead, isn't he?
Yeah, so he would be.
Yeah, so it couldn't
in
be
spirit.
Him. Couldn't be him. Our guest is a fella called Adrian Stone, right? Let's give him the spirited round of applause first, and then I'll let you introduce yourself, because what you do, you're possibly the most interesting guest we've had on.
Wow!
In the history of the show, as long as it's been called the M&M show, this is the most interesting guest we've ever had. So I'll let you introduce yourself and what you do.
Wow. Let me introduce myself. My name is Adrian Stone. Background's a music producer. And the background track that you were just talking about, whether it was a sample or not, is by Active Force. It's called Give Me Your Love.
There you go.
Old school. I produced originally. I came up from Bristol to London to pursue my music career, to get into the music scene, the hip-hop scenes. That's my background.
Yeah.
And as a little one, I used to collect old school soul records like that.
Yeah.
Nice. So I don't know. I got in the archives.
Yeah, there
the
you
stash,
go. I can tell by the body language that you knew what you were talking about. He was confident,
like,
so I was confident.
I was dying to jump in. I was like, hold my corner.
Consummate professional.
Mute myself. But, down the line, down the years, I became a, what you call a genealogist, studying family history, tracing the lineage of our kings. So, you know where you get your king from, your grands and your greats, and supporting people to do the same.
Yeah.
But for myself, it was all about my mother. The inspiration was, she was my mom, to kind of like trigger the whole thing.
Yeah, and it was quite a tragic reason, wasn't it? Because she fell ill, didn't she?
Yeah,
and then you realised that you couldn't sort of trace your ancestors back past a certain stage or something, right?
A certain stage. I didn't know my grandparents' names,
right?
You know, from the very beginning, I was lost.
Yeah,
you know, I was thinking to myself when we thought she could have passed away. So it was just right there on the intensive care ward. I thought to myself, hold on a minute, if she passed, then the whole history passed, and I need to connect. And at that time, the family needed to connect, and I'm the family rotated one. So for me, the way to connect with my family is to know more about her, her life, her legacy.
Yeah.
And I didn't know my grandparents' names. I just called them Mama and Papa. I didn't know the sinners. They passed when I was quite young.
That's a good point, actually. I don't know if I know all of my grandparents' names.
I'm trying to think when I found out my grand, because you find out your grandparents' names later on, innit? Because you used to call them like Nana or Grandad, innit?
Yeah, it's true.
It's mad.
As far as I'm concerned, that's their names.
And especially in my times, as a young one, you couldn't ask them any question. You know,
no, of course not. What do you know my first name for?
That's a backhand. You know, asking big people questions just sit down. That kind of thing. True. So, it's never really occurred to me, and this is going back 10 years, to kind of think to myself, what's my grandparents' names?
Yeah.
The first name, not even the surname.
Mm.
And then it kind of went from there. And then I got stuck just going back, great-grandparents.
Yeah.
And that's when the records came in, much later.
Yeah. So what sort of, what was your method? How far afield did you go? Was it all kind of like London-based, UK-based, the research? Or did you travel anywhere in your quest?
Well, there's a saying, isn't it? Everything starts at home.
Yeah.
So to speak to the elders and say, tell me, when my grandfather came, as well as his names and what you know. So one of my cousins sat me down with a little, sort of a fritter and a Guinness punch. I said, right.
Okay.
Real proper old school Sunday, And I said, right, this is how it goes.
Yeah.
And I said, right, okay. So, then I got to kind of see, that's why the whole Windrush generation made more sense, because then I could discover that my grandfather came in 1955,
mm-hmm.
His wife, 56, she followed. And that's the way it was. We kind of sent for each other, to set it up. So my grandfather bought a house, for my mum and the other two siblings to come over. So everything was really bought by the time they came. So all that was kind of that knowledge is power. So from there, just kind of knowing a few generations, I then stumbled across the records like your births and your marriages, your deaths. And these things I never knew existed. You always hear rumors like maybe the record office flooded or some hurricane and just wiped out everything. But I discovered that you can find in a certain time period the specific birth certificates of your ancestors. And that was quite incredible.
Yeah.
That's mad.
It really is great. I've always been really, really intrigued about my sort of ancestors, how far I can trace back, but I've just never got around to doing it.
So hold on a minute. So how far do you know? I need to know. So who I'm talking
to. I only know grandparents, I reckon, to be brutally honest with you. Maybe great.
So we're in the same Windrush boat.
My parents are Nigerian.
Yes, okay.
You see, so they are Nigerian immigrants who came over in the late 70s. So I'm not Windrush.
So when I mean Windrush, we don't really mean the ship.
Mm.
We mean the generation.
Yeah,
so my nana and granddad came from Barbados, and then my dad's mum and his dad came over from Jamaica. So they was around the 50s time.
Oh, cool. Mm. We saying, cuz.
speaking of which, you found out that you are a relative of Grammy Award winning singer Ella May.
Oh, you've gone too far, man. You've gone too far. We've got to pull the conversation back before we even get there, So the ship itself, but there's so to get to that point of knowing who I'm connected to, you've got to build this tree. And as you said, grandparents, we get lost, great grandparents. And I had to kind of go through this, what we call civil registration records. This is when it was mandatory. This is when you had to record, your child's birth. And these kind of records enabled me to go back another generation and then going through some of the church records in Jamaica. And this is where both of my parents were from. They were born there. So I'm the first generation. And then you're building this tree. You got you get past the pet names. You guys got, the pet names?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, my granduncle, who I had to call from Jamaica to kind of ask him, get some details from, I said, when's your dad born? And he said to me, well, on a Wednesday. Straight. So they don't celebrate birthdays. So there's so much difficulties and things like that to get, you know, further back and pass the pet names, get the original certificates. And my tree started to grow. And that way you can start to connect with, you know, maybe somebody else who's doing the tree and find your common ancestors and things like that. So how do we get to LMA? You want to get straight into it?
Yeah, yeah, juicy bits, mate. Juicy bits.
Yeah, straight. Yeah, so basically, the way I connected it was, I did a DNA test. You may have, it's a popular thing now. Not in the time that I started. So used Ancestry DNA to look at, you know, where my... I was thinking my African origins, this is what I want to find, you know, which tribe you belong to, even though I discovered that through the paper trail. But an interesting thing that Ancestry does, it tells you your genetic cousins. So it may identify somebody in the database who's actually related to you, and they would establish that the relationship by the amount of DNA you share, right? So when you do match with somebody, and there's a picture, there's a whole profile, and you can message that person and say, hey, cuz, all that kind of stuff, this is, you know, we're cousins, we're genetic cousins. They can share a family tree. So this particular person who matched with me had their family tree, I had my family tree, and I identified one of their cousins as my cousin, which was my great grandmother's side. So LMA is a cousin through like second cousins.
Oh, wow. Right.
So no, a bit further back, fourth cousins, but her great grandmother is a sister to my great grandmother.
Her great great grandmother is a sister to
my great grandmother.
Great.
So wow. It's quite close when you're looking at 1880s, that sort of period.
That's so mad.
Down the road.
And have you contacted her about it?
In the process. So I've met a lot of the family now.
Yeah.
Just the other day, I met some of the family just on my street.
No way.
At a gathering on my street.
Are you serious?
I swear, it paints such a mad picture when...
Are you serious?
I'm telling you, listen, I mean, this is, you know... it's crazy. You never know who's on your doorstep. Be careful who you're talking to.
Do you know what though? I'm not gonna lie. Like my uncle done the same ancestry thing, and in Chingford where I live, we actually had cousins who he found who were literally like they lived like 5 minutes away from my old house, and like
it's mental.
Uncle doing it, I found out that I actually had other cousins opposed to the cousins that I knew that lived there. So it was mad.
Wow.
It's right on our doorstep, and that's why you got to know.
You never know, innit?
Yeah, sometimes, obviously, through the surnames, that's how we know we're connected. But obviously, you know, when the women in the family, they get married, or the children takes the father's name, then the history gets lost that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, just coming over, you know, from, you know, Jamaica to England or the Caribbean or wherever you come from, you know, those relationships get lost, but they're close back home.
Mm.
That generation was very close back home.
That's true, it's true. That's why it's always the best place to look, right?
Exactly.
Because, yeah, they communicate a lot more, I suppose, in the sort of smaller rural settings than when they come to the big city. Oh, I like that. That's super, super interesting, man. And is there still the pursuit of music as well, along with the genealogy?
There's so much in store. How much I want to tell you? I haven't got the Men in Black light to this erasure of memory. I give you too much. No, it definitely will come back full circle, because my first love was music. And it's just amazing, like, just doing the genealogy, connected to musicians. And there's many others that I've kind of, like, found on the way who also do music.
Yeah.
And so hopefully we're going to tell those stories, you know, through music and other you know, means of sort of creativeness.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but in the meantime, you've established a workshop, haven't you?
Exactly. Tracing your Windrush roots. You know, really born out of the whole Windrush scandal to kind of urge me on to do something, you know, to make people connect. So I was doing work before, and I just thought to myself, you know, the workshops are very different. So you have some people that talk, but it's about walking you through the process. So you bring your family tree to the workshop, and I support you with the very first steps of how to trace. Very interactive, practical sessions where, you know, some people are experienced, some people have no experience, and together we discover. You know, we learn together, and sometimes we use case studies, whether it's somebody famous or somebody like myself, and we go through, you know, the kind of challenges that you're going to experience when you're tracing. Because there's many people who have started to trace and say, oh, I can't find this person, you know, maybe, you know, the way the records were recorded, that child, their parents weren't married, so it creates all different types of problems. Or maybe page number 12 is missing, which is like an index or a register. And I show you how to kind of get through what we call brick walls, where you get stuck.
Yeah.
And so along the line of tracing, there's always going to become, you know, a barrier, a brick wall, where you can't get through it and you can't find the information.
Mm-hmm.
So this workshop is kind of designed to kind of help you go through that whole thing.
Amazing. And when is it?
Right, I got a couple. Gosh, from my hometown, from Bristol, I have a workshop that's coming up in July, the 27th, in London.
Yeah. Alexandra Palace, right?
No, that's where
he passed. Oh, Jesus.
I'm moving, bro.
You've got one soon, on the 22nd of June, haven't
you? Yeah, so I've got one coming up, as you said, 22nd of June, and that's in Lambeth College in Clapham. And following that, there's one in September and October, and you can find all information on my Instagram page.
Instagram. Yeah? Let's point to the Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram page. And also, I'm doing one in Tottenham. I'm doing a partnership with Tottenham Hotspurs Foundation.
Okay, but all right.
I know.
No. I'm not going to Tottenham Hotspurs.
Tottenham. Yeah, so that's coming up on the 17th. So check again through my Instagram for all the details. And that's a free one. That's not only one's a free. It's an introductory workshop, 2-hour workshop in Tottenham. So come along, bring your family tree. Bring your family, most importantly.
That is the most important thing, isn't it?
And I know that tickets can be purchased from tracingwindrushroots.eventbrite.co.uk.
Yes.
You said it better than me. Say that again, because I'm big. Say that one more time. Right?
Tracingwindrushroots.eventbrite.co.uk. Go and get tickets.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you so much for coming in to chat to us, Adrian, man. It's been absolute pleasure to meet you. People like you, Adrian said, you can find him all the details for his forthcoming workshop, on his Instagram. We're going to get into a song now, and when we come back, we still got two guests to come through, Bob Villain and Nim.
You heard it on the radio, you seen it on a TV show.
Like the rustle of the leaves in the trees, it feels right to you, but you got a hatin' and a fight to you. Sorry to hear you got a complex called bullshitting. I got the goods like a camping trip to go to long, cause I'm running like the rapids does, I flow strong. People that you know that are good all day and got the quality that satisfies your effort to pay.
Hey, here's a new thought, I've created a new sport that involves burning mumbles, rappers with new ports. Forget what you thought or was taught to be quality.
What?
Hold up, follow me. Some of y'all are targeted by poverty, and honestly, you're a novelty and treated as somebody's property. Curiosity kills cats who want to test mine.
Clear?
Flatline.
Good people, bad news. Bad news.
Hey, yo, I spent more decades than I care to admit. Splitting hairs on which words wear when I spit.
But shit.
You might as well give 110 and commit. So guarantee minds are blown when you pretend to be lit. Bust the mic out the two kids. That's bad news for you, kid. You're used to my beats, but today I'm on some new shit. Who's this? Good Beatles or cut people? Whichever you choose, shit's lethal. Old school like medieval, while pop grows the weasel. But a new version, like the Rock is the Vin Diesel. Pleased to meet you, now allow me to ease you.
Yo, why the fuck you gotta act like
I'm not here to appease you. I'm on a need to know basis, face it. You need to know me, cause I'm the dude you're replaced with. You're basic, noticeably fake like a facelift. Bring the cuts in and show them how you made shit.
That goes for anybody that gotta pay their dues. You move.
Milky Maid and Myrtle Smervil on FUBAR Radio.
Touch. Oh, my name, oh, my name.
think you wanna come over? I think we know the answer.
That was nice. That was a double drop, wasn't it?
It was a double drop. First of all, Finnish rappers Cut Beatles, who I like very much, and that was Brasco Lipstick Stains featuring Saint Pressure, which was a bit of a banger too.
Nice.
You know, that Lipstick Stains, it sounded a bit like, you know, Prince, like in the 90s when he was doing like the Batman themes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It was in that element.
Yeah, for me it was very much Prince, but even earlier Prince. Yeah. You know,
Really cool.
We were speaking to Adrian Stone as well about delving into the past and finding out about your old, your own family's sort of lineage. But this scholar, Brian J. Ford, has delved even further back into the past and looked at the way dinosaurs fucked, basically. So he's come up with a report, and his findings include his findings include this. Dinosaurs became unable to have sex, which is the reason they became extinct. So according to Brian J. Ford, the dinosaurs' demise was caused by the continental drift, which pulled Earth's supercontinents apart and destroyed the vast shallow lakes dinosaurs allegedly required
to
reproduce.
So they like water. They like to have sex in water. That's not uncommon, right? Dinosaurs do your thing.
Maybe they just really needed to make sure it was wet down there, because obviously the size of the
that's true. Dinosaurs aren't very sexy. So,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true. I reckon female dinosaurs would just like, I can't get wet. Look at you. You're a fucking T-Rex.
Yeah, and I've not really thought about it or ever looked at it as what a dinosaur genitalia looks like. But I would
that's
like
a
to,
good
I'd love
point.
To see someone's massive. Screen, though, well. I'd love to see...
Like,
you can't imagine a T-Rex with a small penis, can you?
True truck
team. You never know. It might be small in comparison to the T-Rex, but it'd still be bigger than all of us.
It would have to be really long if the T-Rex wanted to masturbate, because they had really short arms.
Yeah, they had really short arms.
They must have had massive penises.
Where would it be, though?
Between his legs.
Their hands couldn't reach down that far.
That's what I'm saying. So you'd have to have a massive dick.
Imagine, is a Diplodocus, have they got the long necks?
I think so.
Imagine them trying to deep throat, eh?
That's true.
It wouldn't be that. It'd be alright, wouldn't it? No, but with like, a long neck.
They got a super long neck, so like, it's just like.
Yeah, they can't ever deep throat them. There's nothing. Well, nothing's going to be able to deep throat them.
I'm sure they're devastated about that. I'm sure they're fuming.
Is this a picture of a...
A picture of... What the hell? What is that, please?
What is that? Is that an ostrich's
like
penis?
It's like a chicken.
That looks like an ostrich. Someone just sent us a no-context bird genitalia photo.
It's very red. It's angry. Oh, a paleontologist reckons it's like birds. I don't think it's like that. It's very red. Describe it, Marcel.
Don't describe it.
It looks like... That... It's curving to the left or the right. It's definitely not straight. It'd be, if he was to try and put it in, it would definitely be a hard angle. You need to hit. They've got to hit a certain angle to like make that.
So can I just check? There are no pictures of or made up pictures of dinosaur genitalia. Well, then I can't. This whole story then is nonsense.
Yeah,
this is true.
We know. How do they know if you can't even see any? They like to have sex in lakes. What?
It's just a hypothesis, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, as he said, apparently, dinosaurs were simply too heavy and bulky to mate on land, which you said, and thus required additional assistance in the forms of water's buoyancy to successfully procreate. So, exactly
so,
right.
No, so why then? Why not just have sex in the sea then?
Because they were... Because at the time, the continents hadn't split apart, so it was just bare land. So
and
they
lakes.
Needed these lakes. Lakes are inland bodies of water, aren't they? It was too far to go to the sea.
No, but like, but didn't they say they got extinct because there was because they separated?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. So then maybe they were left inland, too far inland, and
it pulled them apart. And well, actually, no, it's not saying that. It says it pulled them apart and destroyed the vast shallow lakes.
Yeah. So they just made them into the sea, the oceans, basically.
But they were too lazy just to walk a bit further and find out there's more.
There's actually more water now.
There's more water than you've ever seen before.
I thought the Ice Age was what killed the dinosaurs.
What, the film?
Based on the film, it was the Ice Age.
God. Ice Age was a documentary made by dinosaurs.
They froze and
they were like, this isn't a hit.
This is going to kill us at the box office.
Oh, sorry, breaking news. Apparently, the ocean is too deep to mate in.
Absolute bollocks.
Humans have sex in the sea. I see no reason why dinosaurs
can. Big off dinosaur can't fuck in the sea.
Yeah. They got bare legs, like. Yeah. You know what I mean? Their legs are bare tall.
This doesn't add up at all.
It doesn't. The dinosaurs were dumb as fuck, weren't they?
Whoever this scholar is, he's a dickhead.
Brian J. Ford. Why are you even looking into sex lives of dinosaurs anyway?
He was making it up to get spoke about on FUBAR Radio.
We'll never mention his name again.
Hell no. Brian J. Ford.
Brian J. Ford, indeed.
Brian J. Ford.
Sounds like a pseudonym as well.
Well, yeah, for Will R. Roney. That's what it sounds like. He's made up the story.
Brian J. Ford is really our producer,
I don't know what his middle name is. I said R. I don't know what it would be. It is R. Okay.
Wow. Genius.
Nice. Anyway, so what do you think about dinosaurs? You a fan?
Do you know what? Like, I used to have dinosaur books. I used to really like drawing dinosaurs. Yeah.
I feel so familiar with dinosaurs. It's mad, isn't it?
Jurassic Park kind of done that because it made me I could imagine what it'd be like to be around dinosaurs, and it was quite intimidating.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
Yeah, remember that scene
in Jurassic Park when they're like when the water starts shuddering.
Yeah, that's iconic. Like, wow. That's iconic.
Yeah, I would be terrified of them. But you know that they're thinking about they are able to now bring woolly mammoths back to life.
What do you
I've
reckon?
Heard this.
What do you reckon?
Do
you reckon they should do it? I want to see one. I'm not gonna lie. I slightly want to see one.
Not what? Just wandering down the road.
No, not Dan Callie.
No, but
just wandering past the Emirates.
Where would they keep it in a zoo?
I mean, I don't think it'd
on
be
a pet. On a reserve, maybe.
Yeah,
on
I think so. I don't think you could. Do you want one as a pet? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just trying to think. Like, so if there was like, I'm thinking out of the fairness for the mammoth, then like it'd be out of order to just create one to just keep them in a zoo. So
put it on Sesame Street.
Is a mammoth? What is the size of a mammoth? I want to know. Bigger than an elephant?
That's a good point.
Of course, it's bigger than an elephant.
But
it's
how,
a mammoth.
How big? Like,
are they bigger than elephants?
Have you seen Power Rangers? Do you remember the mammoth? Like
the robotic one.
I'm guessing it'll be like the size of this building.
But I like the fact that you said no.
No, the height of the building.
No. That's ridiculous.
Tusks looking like them shoots that go down building sites.
Turn into a Megazord.
You think you'd just see a mammoth at the window and you'd be cool with that? Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
With the big eyes like Mr. Stuffleupagus.
They were dinosaur elephants. Elephants are the biggest animals.
Okay.
So that's a good point.
So if they're dinosaur elephants.
Right. I actually really like that you used Power Rangers like it was a documentary there. Well, in Power Rangers...
I like the fact that you said dinosaur elephants.
It was actually just the size of elephants. It wasn't as big as...
But they must have appeared bigger as well, so you've got a point, because they were shaggy, weren't they?
Yeah, that's just stupid, though.
The extra hair made it...
So they was about when dinosaurs were about, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But...
Were they?
Oh, they weren't.
No, were they not?
They were. Oh, afterwards, apparently.
After dinosaurs.
Why were they on all my dinosaur books? This is vexing me.
It's annoying, isn't it? There's bare shit that I learned when I was a kid that's wrong now.
You know what I mean? So what's that one with the spiky around its head?
Oh, is it a Triceratops?
A Triceratops. See, I always used to think a Triceratops kind of looked like an elephant.
A rhino.
Well.
Oh no, I thought that was an ancestor of a rhino.
Oh baby,
a Triceratops.
And then the bird
pterodactyl.
One.
Is that a pterodactyl?
That's like a chicken, isn't it?
No. So chickens are descendants of bipedal dinosaurs. So dinosaurs like T-Rex would have become birds.
No.
Yeah, yeah. It's dinosaurs that walked on two legs that are actually the ancestors of what we know as feathered birds now. Yeah. Not shit like pterodactyls.
So where the frick did they get their wings from? This is madness.
Because pterodactyls and stuff, they would have been almost like bats, wouldn't they? I think they're... Their flight would have been different, and they could stand.
That's mad. Hey, do you know what I watched recently? I watched Godzilla, King of.
Oh, is that good?
It is dead.
Oh
really?
It's giving terrible reviews.
Listen. When I say to you, it is dead. It is absolutely terrible.
Oh, okay.
Special effects, at least.
Effects look cool, but there was moments in it. I just found that this is like Transformers, like. Right. Like, it was just stupid.
Hold on, so it's King Kong. No, King Kong versus Godzilla, right?
No, fighting like organisms, isn't he?
Isn't there a King Kong versus something? What is it? Godzilla?
So King Kong is mentioned in the film, but you don't see him. But it's basically Godzilla versus some is it two-headed or three-headed like dragon, mm-hmm. versus like, and then Mothra comes out of the wings, mm-hmm. and then like there's some like, so basically it's like it's King Kong, Godzilla and this three-headed thing who are the apex predators of the Titans, and they're battling, and then it's whoever. And then the other ones are just basically like they're bidders, innit? So like, so whichever one wins, they work for that guy. It was exactly.
Well, they formed a union.
It was some kind of stupid union. And I was like, this is bullshit.
What the fuck? Equal pay for Godzilla?
For sure.
Mad
Mate,
ting.
I was vexed.
Now Godzilla, I imagine, could be as tall as this building.
Yeah, Godzilla. What do you mean? Godzilla's taller than this building.
Yeah, tower over this building.
Okay.
Doesn't Godzilla? Isn't he like a skyscraper kind of height?
He's taller than
the
a skyscraper.
The last Godzilla I saw was the one in Madison Square Garden, the one that where Madison Square Garden gets destroyed. The one with Jean Renault? No,
Jean Renault.
Yeah, Leon. Yeah, yeah.
The and old school thing. Yeah,
that one. That's my favorite one. Come with me.
The Diddy song. Hey,
right? Are you crazy? Jimmy Page.
Jamiroquai, Deep Run. Jimmy Underground.
Of course.
The soundtrack to that made that good film.
Yeah,
true. No, I think it added to it. It's a fucking good film.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I went to see that film on like, it was like a half day from school, so everyone from the school went down there. Like, we was all sitting there, and then everyone was like, this is poo. And then we all left.
Are you sure maybe you just don't like Godzilla?
Yeah. What have you got beef with Godzilla for? What's that?
I can't think of a Godzilla film that you like.
No, it's not that I got beef with Godzilla. Yeah.
Bad move. On Godzilla's part.
I don't know, man. I just don't rate him. I don't rate King Kong films either, though.
You just don't like giants running around causing... I don't like the aftermath of them films. Yeah. Because everyone's always happy. I'm like, are you not registering what the fuck just happened?
Madness just
yesterday.
Well, your whole city's destroyed. You got
by
nowhere,
a giant lizard, nonetheless. Or a fucking massive gorilla. Mm. And then the next day it's like lips in and all that. That shit would actually send me mad.
Do you know what? So basically the new Godzilla is basically like a sequel to the last one that came out that had Bryan Cranston in it.
Right.
Anyway, like the aftermath of what happened in that one is basically what this one follows on from. But then the woman in it, she's all like there's some weird cult when they're trying to release, they're trying to bring the Titans back to destroy the world because they should be here and we shouldn't be here and all that kind of shit. And I'm like, this storyline is whack. It's whack. And then by the end of it, they're all like, oh, we've made a mistake. And by then, this is pointless.
What did you think was going to happen?
Do you know what I mean? Oh my God, my daughter's in trouble now. Yeah, your daughter's in trouble, but you tried to bring this on. Like, that's why I was vexed. I was like, nah, man.
Best Western's next door.
Do you know what I mean?
It's not for you. All right.
It's not for me.
I think we'll give you a minute to calm down whilst we just
Thank
go
you.
To the
store.
Something you call spectacular out of this freaking world. The most common denominator between boy and girl. The highest set of standards that's ever been established. Redistributed to the masses for your satisfaction. We only come in peace to preach about the next coming. The first black president, what if the next is woman? This is for those becoming who you intend to be. Pull off your suits of struggle and wash your sins and see. This is finna be even deeper than a sunken ship. 2,000 plus leagues underground above the rich. And you can see them like they hands stretching out to God. And we can save them like any patient about to die. This is that big hurt that put a hurting on the truth. They never thought a wish could lead the world into pursuit. Life, liberty, happiness to be detached from evil. This is a message to and from the people. The true and living.
The true and living. What? The true and living. How the true and living. What? Yo, it's the truth, y'all. Yo, it's the truth. Yo, it's the truth,
y'all, yo, it's the truth, huh? The true and living, huh? The true and living, what? The true and living, huh? The true and living, what? Yo, it's the truth, y'all, yo, it's the truth, say it again, it's the truth, y'all.
Turntables and a classic record, a match made in heaven. Glory be to God, straight out the West. It's never been a more truthful duo in these courageous ages. The new creator's favorites, yo, it's Blue and X. Go get a stack of rappers and players back to back. Check the conclusion after, who got the masters locked? Open your hearts and let us walk throughout your mental fortress. Close down your chart soon as we spark, cause you've been sent to forfeit. Bring back original rap to what it's meant to be, and let that digital relax. Wax is slippery when wet, acapella, let me spit on your decks. Play that intro instrumental, to watch the realest connect. To say it simple, yo, we simply the best. Profess the spiritual, confess the miracle as individuals and get respect. The next logical step will be to bless the streets in attempts to reflect what we have yet to see. Ladies and gentlemen, from this dimension comes the true and living. 90 billion miles from the root of existence. Touch the sun and let me shine like one. Bust your gun and watch the blind run. We change the shooter's vision. Influential intuition and the missions on the mission. At the finish telling them that we just beginning. From out the park dropping jewels in the dark comes a beat beating harder than the beat of your heart. The true and living.
The true and living. What? The true and living. What? The true and living. What? Yo, it's the truth, y'all. Yo, it's the truth. Yo, it's the truth, y'all. Yo, it's the truth. Huh?
The true and living.
Huh? The true and living. What? The true and living. Huh? The true and living. What? Yo, it's the truth, y'all. Yo, it's the truth. Say it again. It's the truth, y'all. Yo, it's the truth. Hey.
And yo, back for the third time, reflecting like the earth shines. A testament to worst times, word to the wise. Visualize your favorite way to make it. Call it your place in heaven. Elope the truth and spit a jewel at 80 verse per second. You can never measure records with the few who did it. While the people try and lie and take the future with it. Computer wizards multiplying in division, subtraction, and addition, all to get the truth and living.
Marcel Somerville and Michael Payne on FUBAR Radio.
Do you know how to read my name? Well, it don't.
smoke it through the paper cause we can't end up and waste it. To the bottom we're scraping, but I know that's gonna change. Working hard and moving up, oh baby, gotta be patient. That's right. Cause I know they the ones that gon' pay us to party someday. You heard me. But for now, babe,
gon' marry in this style. Girl, we getting on this thing right. Got no reason to be ashamed.
That's Harriet Brown and Paper, and the coolest outro we've heard on the show today.
There was a lot of head nodding.
I was literally imagining myself in a sort of grid Tron type setting doing the best robot dancing fucking seen. But I was keeping it calm by just bopping my head. But in my head, I was doing stuff. I was doing bits. Yeah. Do you do that?
Yeah, of course.
You're just in a you're in a club and you're bopping your head. You're cool, calm, and collected. There's a madness going on in your head, though.
Yeah,
I'm literally, I'm Mario, I'm flipping Usher, Michael Jackson, everyone in my head. It's mad. It's mad. You like the way I brought up Mario, though? Yeah. Underrated dancer.
Super, very true. Super Mario.
Super.
Let's go!
Down a pipe, innit? That delightful voice you hear, in addition to mine, and Marcel's, and Natalie's, is Nims.
Oh, hi.
How's it going? You're right.
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
We were just discussing how long it's been since I saw you last.
A hot minute.
Yeah,
we discovered.
Discovered it was a few years ago at the birthday party of a mutual friend, someone who's very close to you, who
you've been
touring with for years now as well. It's Paloma Faith. Big fans of her at this station. You've had the privilege of and the pleasure of touring with her all this time, but now you're striking out on your own with music.
Yes.
As an artist in your own right.
Yes.
Why now? Have you been too busy to do it before? Because obviously, you know, Paloma is a massive star, so I can imagine that her tour schedule might be quite
intense. Mm. Yeah, so it's like when you're traveling a lot and it's like you're away, like years will literally
just fly by, right?
Fly by without you knowing it. Yeah. So it's been 8 years now that I've been on the road with P.
Yeah.
And there's like time. She's doing a new TV show. So then it was like we had a break.
Yeah.
And it was like, do you know what? Let me just make use of this time.
Yeah.
And do my thing now.
Okay.
Yeah, and I felt ready as well, you know? Sometimes it takes a while and then you need to just discover exactly what it is you want to do.
Yeah, and you've got the sort of advantage of having seen the world a lot more than most debut artists, haven't you? What's the most interesting place you've been to?
Tokyo. I'm gonna say Tokyo was just a mind fuck. Honestly.
Can you imagine?
Honestly, I wasn't prepared. I had an idea of what I thought it was going to be like, and then it just like exceeded all my expectations.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
That's a common answer when people say that. What's the strangest sort of place you've been to? What the most wondrous place you've been to? It's usually somewhere in Japan.
I think so much so now that I don't really have any preconceptions of what it's like. I'm open to anything.
For me, it's somewhere between like being in the future with lots of Hello Kitty and then Mount Fuji. And some sick gardens.
Well, you got it down.
It just seems so. I can't wait to go there myself.
It's beautiful.
And have your travels in any way inspired your music?
I feel like I've always been inspired by a lot of different music, like world
music.
Yeah.
Going to those places and seeing things, we always make an effort to go and like see live music whenever we go anywhere.
Of course.
So then those things, they do kind of bleed into your inspirations, even if you don't realise it.
Yeah.
It's just kind of creeping up.
Yeah, yeah.
Places. And just meeting people, seeing how people live in different countries, like when you're actually there mm-hmm. and you see it, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know?
But the debut single, Golden, yeah. that you draw on your own sort of experiences. Yeah. So tell us about the sort of history, the background of this song.
So Golden is basically, it's about... I kind of wanted to write a song about my upbringing. Like, I was born in London, mm-hmm. but then lived in Southampton for primary school, came right. back to London for secondary school. And Golden is basically about... I found that living in Southampton, I loved it, but there is a segregation there.
Right.
So it's like I grew up on an estate, and I was so happy there. It was such a community. We were all there for each other. Mm. But people outside of that didn't necessarily get it. Mm. And it was like, you know, that people had their own opinions of like what it is they think it is.
Yeah.
So then Golden really stems from that, mm-hmm. of like trying to paint a beautiful picture, like how I saw my childhood. Mm-hmm. And it's... yeah, it's basically just drawing from all those things, and as well just like living your life however you want to be. So like wearing mad shit or just like being flamboyant, being whoever it is you feel like you want to be.
Yeah.
And it being quite alarming and drawing on the fact that sometimes people are unnerved by it.
Yeah.
And they act in whatever way they feel like they're going to act mm-hmm. about you and doing whatever it is or who you are or where you come from. But really, you know, sometimes it just stems from fear and the unknown.
Yeah. I think that's a perfect introduction, to be honest.
Well,
I
want to
hear it.
Yeah, man. We should hear it.
Ha.
Let's do it.
Siren soundtrack, sweet, but he's hopeful. Toast every day for a week, but her belly's full. Careful where you tread your feet, see the beautiful. Look up, it's beautiful, we are beautiful. Shouting in the street, it's a nightmare. Staring endlessly, people fight there. Trying to find our feet, but they don't care. Some people don't care, oh no, they don't care. Oh, oh, I wrote my message in. No need to be so cold. We just raise the light, we are on. If you didn't know, we are golden. We are golden. We are golden. Pure gold. We are all in need in the system. Some can smile so sweet but keep the distance. Pace of life, we beat our own rhythm. Can't feel the rhythm, just listen with them. Strong we stand, we put food on the table. It keeps us living, breathing love and stable. Still we're here, we're willing, bold and able. We're bold and able, we're bold and able. I wrote my message in. No need to be so cold. We just raise the light, we are on. If you didn't know, we are golden. We are golden. We are golden. Pure gold. We are golden.
We are golden. We are golden. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pure gold. Open books,
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville on FUBAR Radio.
Just kiss my lips. I know in time I'll grow tired of fighting. Well, fuck 'em though, cold needles in my bones. Well, fuck 'em like I'll die before silence. My soul is mine, my sin. Just kiss my lips. I know in time I'll grow tired of fighting.
It don't matter what they call me, just what I answer to. Focus on my blackness, how my hair stands up to the blue skies. Defies gravity, just like this mine.
That's Legend by Wulu featuring Ego, LMA and Lexa Moore. Before that, we played Golden by our second guest of the day, the lovely and talented Nim.
Aww.
Thanks once again for joining us, Nim.
Thanks for having me.
Not at all. We need to celebrate your presence.
Okay.
With a game.
Let's
you know?
Do it.
It's a ritual.
It is.
Yeah, yes. Long-lasting ritual that we have.
Okay.
So, in honour of your song Golden, Nim, I'm going to play you three... All of you, you've got two each to go through this, so think about this. I'm going to play you three songs from bands who have appeared on the same Reading Festival lineup. All I want you to tell me, who is the golden act, i.e. who is the one that's headlining the stage on that particular year.
Okay. All right.
Who wants to start?
Well... Guests first.
Okay. Sure. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play you three clips here, and this is, I can tell you, is from 2016 Reading from the NME stage. Okay. Three artists, and then I want you to tell me which one is the golden artist. Okay, let's begin.
No.
Tell them don't waste my time. Tell them don't waste my time.
Oh yeah.
Tell them don't waste my time.
No.
Tell them don't waste my time.
And then Nas. Finally, Two Door Cinema Club.
I can tell just what you want. You don't want to be alone.
Okay. So, who headlined the NME stage in 2016? Krypton Conan, Nas, or Two Door Cinema Club?
Oh, that's a tough one.
I'm going to go with Krypton Conan.
Okay. That's interesting. What would you have said, Marcel?
I would have said Nas.
Mm-hmm. And what would you have said, Michael?
I would have said Two Door Cinema Club
you
in 2016.
You have got a point.
Yeah.
But it's not your question, so...
That's sad.
Maybe I'll change the rules here, then, because you would... No, don't change the rules. I thought it would have been Nas. I was actually there that year, so I know it wasn't Nas. And I remember being a bit annoyed when it wasn't Nas. And I'm like, no offence to Two Door, I like him, but it should have been Nas.
NME stage, it's got to be Two Door Cinema Club.
Come on. Okay, so that's no points for anyone there. Who wants to go next, please?
Go on, Mars.
I'll go next.
Mars, you're up.
Go.
Okay, so this is from Reading 2014, again from the NME stage, starting with Clean Bandit.
Tune. Not gonna lie, this is still a fucking tune.
Okay, then Jungle. Big artist. Big tune. The Maverick.
The headline.
I want to know who was the headliner of that stage or the highest up the bill. Was it Clean Bandit, Jungle, or Maverick?
Clean Bandit.
Okay, Clean Bandit. What would you have said, Brian?
I feel like Clean Bandit.
Mm-hmm.
What year was this?
This is 2014.
Oh,
Clean Bandit, Jungle, Maverick Sabre.
Clean Bandit too.
Yeah. You would all have been wrong. It was Maverick Sabre.
No.
Wow.
When? Maverick Sabre was the headline.
Yeah.
Fair play.
Yeah.
Like, he's got tunes, but I didn't like.
What stage was this? NME again.
NME stage.
Yeah, I would at that. But then at that time, I think Jungle had like maybe two singles.
Exactly. Think of the year.
Yeah, it's the
year. They wouldn't have been headlining, would they, in 2014?
Yes,
I don't think.
Yeah.
So we're moving to you, Michael Payne. We're going for to 2010 now.
Wow.
And we're moving over to the main stage, okay?
Okay.
So we're starting with some Cypress Hill.
Insane in the brain!
Insane in the brain!
Insane in the brain!
Limp Bizkit! And then Paramore.
That's a tough one.
2010.
I think it's like Limp Bizkit and Paramore.
Limp Bizkit
for me.
And Paramore. So
I'm going to go with Paramore.
Okay. Who would you have gone
with? I would
have
said Paramore.
Limp Bizkit.
Well, you wouldn't have got a point. Nim, you would have got a point. But in this occasion, you do get a point, Michael Payne, because you were correct.
Only one to get one.
It was Paramore. Right, back to you, Nim. So we're going over. We're staying with the main stage. And this is from 1996.
96.
Okay, toughy. But this is starting with some Ice-T.
Okay.
Although that isn't an... I don't know if he's actually speaking. The Prodigy, of course. And finally, Rage Against the Machine.
That's me every time Will wants to take a photo.
Just watch that, actually. You're like, right.
Yeah.
And in fact, can we just say the levels of sass Will brought there? And he said, I don't have my photo taken. You went, I've looked at you, and so that's a lie.
Well, it's not really a lie, though, is it? That's just like saying, I don't like getting on planes. And then someone says, yeah, but you travel a lot. Yeah, I like being in other fucking countries.
Anyway, Reading, 1996, main stage. He's just giving, I'd say Michael Payne is just giving us a piece of the finger.
Right?
The middle finger. Deserved.
Sibling rivalry.
So, Ice-T, The Prodigy, or Rage Against the Machine?
I'm going to say
with?
Prodigy.
Okay. Marcel, what would you say? I'm 96,
Rage Against the Machine.
Big. Okay. And what would you have said? Huge artist. Ice-T, Prodigy?
96.
Mm-hmm.
Prodigy.
Marcel would have got a point there. It was, in fact, Rage Against the Machine that was highest up the bill there. Right,
okay.
Moving back on to
it's so
Marcel.
Hard.
It is quite tough, actually, isn't it?
It really is.
So we're going to the dance stage for you, Marcel.
Okay, let's
in
do this.
2001.
Kim, like he's a dance pro. Okay. Let me just delve into my encyclopedic knowledge
you know
of dance music.
It's a dance stage, but none of these are really dance artists, I would say. Okay, because we're starting with Oxide and Neutrino.
That's a dance.
Bam for the bam, bam.
So Solid Crew, who would have been highest up the bill on that day stage?
So Solid Crew.
Okay. What would you have said?
I'd have said So Solid too.
In when?
I mean, it's Roots. 2001. Oxide Neutrino, Roots Maneuver, Say Solid Crew.
Dance stage. It had to be So Solid Crew.
It actually is, yeah. So you do get a point for that, Marcel. You do get a point.
Oxide Neutrino came out with them, innit?
They did. Right, finally. So we're going back to Michael Payne. And we have... We're going to... Oh, actually, fairly recent. 2017. We are on, which one is this? 5-6. We are on the one extra stage, actually.
Okay.
And we're going to start with Bugsy Malone.
2017.
I don't want to sort it out. I don't want to hear no words. I don't want to talk it out.
Cheese. 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 It's okay, it's okay. Hey.
Right, so 2017, recent one extra stage, Bugsy Malone, Dave, J Huss. Who would be the golden on that stage that day, the highest up the bill? In fact, the headliner of that stage.
J Huss, Dave, Bugsy, and
That's it. Just those Dave, J Huss, Bugsy.
It has to be J Huss.
Okay.
Okay. J Huss.
I'm going to say J-Huss. The same.
You would say J Huss. What would you Bugsy say, Marcel? You would have got a point. It is Bugsy Malone. No point.
Do you know, I was thinking it was Bugsy Malone, but I was thinking, fuck.
I can tell you, because I do have, because currently, Nim, you're on nothing.
Zero.
But it's fine, because you would have won.
I can take it.
You're both on 1-1, but don't you worry, so I've got a tiebreaker. Winner takes all here, okay?
Well, Nim can come through and actually get a point, and then it's everyone's equal, and then you need a tiebreaker.
Well, I haven't got a second tiebreaker, so basically, my new rule is if Nim gets this one right, she just wins the game.
Fuck
okay?
it. There yeah, we
go.
Fuck
let's
it.
Go for it. Okay.
Stakes is high, man. The stakes is high.
Staying at the dance stage, or going back to the dance stage, I should say. This is from 2012. Yeah. Okay, I'll think about that year. A lot of music. But we are going
to
start with...
The world was meant to end that year, so it would have been a special one, this one.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, okay. Starting with Azealia Banks.
Dance stage, yeah?
Dance stage.
Right, cool.
Now some Grimes. Huge artist, Grimes.
Mm-hmm. Is she still going out of Elon Musk?
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah. But,
And KB.
This is a hard one.
Dance stage, 2012. Azealia Banks, Grimes, KTB. Who was highest up the bill that day? Who was the golden?
1,000,000% Azealia Banks.
Yeah. Okay, Azealia Banks. Marcel, what are you going to say?
Wait, 2012.
Yeah, you've said your answer.
No. First answer, guys.
You two have said your answer.
So it was KTB and I'm saying Grimes.
God damn it. None of you are right. It was KTB.
No.
See, I changed my answer as well. That's a par.
Okay,
KTB,
yeah? It was KTB, actually. Yeah. Right.
That's a par. I should have won that.
That was
but
a
you
hard
said
game.
Azealia Banks.
But
said.
I had so much conviction when I went, I actually, no, I want to change my answer.
I said KTB, yeah? Grimes.
No. First of all, Michael, you said 1,000,000% Azealia Banks.
Yeah, but that's not even mathematically possible. So my answer should have been fucking ignored anyway.
Matt, this show's recorded, isn't it? So my first answer should count. I said KTB, yeah? Grimes.
Yeah, you did. You technically did.
All right, then Marcel wins if that's the case.
Why did I say that?
I wasn't going to let him, but that's okay. So that's good.
Fuck's sake.
So that's all we know. We've got another game coming up with Bob Villain later.
We do, yes. We do have a Bob Villain coming. I will redeem myself. I mean, I think I won that game, but I only, you know.
1,000,000% Azealia Banks. Just going to say, put that out there.
Whatevs. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming through to join us, Nim.
Aww,
as you can see, it's a bit chaotic on the show.
I love it.
Especially when there's a game involved, you know.
That was a hard game. That was a hard game, I'm going to say.
I enjoyed it, though. Yeah, it was good.
Well, hopefully, like, you know, in a couple of years down the line, someone will be playing that game with you involved.
Mm. Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And they'll be going, golden headliner, is what they'll be saying.
Exactly. hopefully you'll split up a friendship in a... in some radio station somewhere.
Unfortunately, you've caused the last Michael and Marcel show to separate.
Oh, God, some catching up to do here.
But yeah, thank you for coming through.
Thanks.
Before you go,
me.
Let people know where they can find you on social media so they can keep up to date on everything you're doing.
So all my social media is at It's New Music. So that's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Nice.
What
should we do now? We should get into a song.
Yeah, so then we get Bob Villain in the studio.
Come on, sounds good. Quantic featuring Denisha with You Used to Love Me.
Absolute
big tune.
Vibes.
Big tune.
Big tune, very soulful. Do you remember the Faith Evans song? I think it was had the exact same title, You Used to Love Me.
Yeah.
No. I think it was called You Used to Love Me. I remember the days you used to love me.
Yeah.
Remember that song? Big tune.
Yeah, big tune.
Yeah, that might be relevant a bit later, but not for now. We should introduce our third and final guest of the day, and he is one of the Bobbies from Bob Villain. How's it going?
Going on, sir.
Thank you.
So two Bobbies making up a band...
Called Bob Villain.
At least there's an element of truth in that. We saw a band at All Points East last weekend called Bob Moses, and neither of them are called Bob, and neither of them are called fucking Moses. So it's just a waste of time, really.
Keep it mysterious. Yeah, it's a good name, right?
It's a good name, I suppose, yeah. It's got a ring to it, hasn't it? Bob Moses.
You didn't forget what their name was, did you?
I didn't, because I was so angry at them. You never forget the names of the people that you're angry at. Exactly, deception. I was calling that Moses. No one was fucking saying anything.
Well, the crowd parted for you.
They did, that's true. They did. Speaking of...
biblical joke there.
You've got to have the biblical humour, man.
Thank you very much.
We've got a big Catholic listener base.
Okay. Yeah, we do. That's probably the only biblical story I know, but...
No, I'm sure you know a few. That is the best one.
But that guy was nailed to the cross as well. That's a big one.
That's
a pretty big one.
And the guy when it came out Easter with the stone.
Yeah, exactly.
That one.
I think it might have been the same.
Same guy. It's the sequel.
Definitely the same.
Might have been a different actor.
Weren't Mel Gibson in that one?
He was actually. Yeah, it's very true. So speaking of mystery, you are only one half of Bob Villain, because the other Bobby he doesn't do public appearances, social media,
he doesn't do much press or anything like that.
That's brilliant.
He hates it.
Fair play.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you become the default spokesman then?
Kind of. I do the vocals and stuff, do you know what I mean?
True.
So I do the vocals, and then Bobby does the drums. He's the drummer. So I'm guitar, vocals, and production side of things, and then he handles the drums.
Yeah, of course.
So I feel like naturally I'm going to be the one that's
the spokesman.
Always going on. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And he's comfortable with it. Yeah.
I hear that. How did you guys meet?
We're related.
Okay, so even more. How closely?
Kind of quite close.
Fair play.
Yeah. It's all a weird family dynamic.
That's mad, because we just had Adrian Stone on, like two guests before you.
He's a genealogist.
Oh, okay.
Right, so even if you didn't know this now, he probably would have found out for you.
Eventually.
Hey, you know you guys, you two Bobbies are related, isn't it?
Stealing some blood and that.
And in your really really short careers, you know, like relatively,
sure.
you've released music, you've played a handful of gigs, one being at the infamous Burgine.
A
couple of my mates tried to get in there. I knew we were never going to get in, so I stayed at the Airbnb. My cool Burgine story.
I stayed at the Airbnb
instead of trying to get in, because they all got turned away.
Can you explain what Burgine is?
It's a famous club in Berlin. It was an old warehouse of some sort,
Chemical plant, like a nuclear chemical plant,
and it was
like
something quite sinister.
At some point I think it kind of became a big hub for like the LGBT community, kind of after the war, after the Berlin Wall and stuff like that, that whole thing. And then now it's just this, it's just a club that is very exclusive.
Yeah, okay. As mysterious as Bobby, the other Bobby from Bob Villain.
Exactly.
So you just have to stumble across it.
You can't even stumble across it, because even if you stumble across it, you definitely might not be stumbling in. It's this mad policy on the door where they can just turn you away and you never know why. It's the stuff of legend, literally, among clubbers. Like, I'm not gassing. Like, the only other person I'm any degree of separation away from that I know has played this venue is Skepta, and I've never seen a photo of what it was like.
No, you're not allowed to take photos.
I've never seen a photo of what the inside of Bergheim looks like. It's mental.
And maybe you never will.
This is the thing.
If you get caught, they turf you, and you don't want to get turfed by them bouncers.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine, because even the bouncer is a celebrity in his own right. The head bouncer, right? He's a celebrity in his own right.
But what if you put a photo up, or you do something after you manage to take a photo? You haven't got caught, and you do it afterwards.
They put like stickers. So when we went in, even performing, they put stickers over the front and back camera of your phone.
Oh, wow.
And then
I
guess like it's dark in there anyway. Yeah. So like you wouldn't, even if you took a photo without the flash, you wouldn't be able to see.
That's
anything.
A good
and
point.
And because everybody in there is kind of agreed to these rules,
they don't want anyone flouting
if you see the flash, it's a wrap for you. Really,
and you lose, and I'm sure you'd lose a lot of within that kind of society. If you like, you know, you're within a microcosm right there, and you'd probably be deemed a bit of a loser as
Exactly,
because that's probably the least cool thing you can do.
Well, what happens in there though? I want to know what's going on. It's,
all sorts of stuff.
Even the stuff I've heard goes on in there is the stuff of legend.
They've got like beds and that in there.
Okay. That's why I was thinking it would be like that. Do you know what though? I think if you went with your friends, and they got in and you didn't, or you got in and they didn't, I think I'd go, I respect that. You go in and I'll be outside, or I'm going in and leave. Because someone's
it would be like
out.
Stars in their eyes.
Someone's got to find
if
out.
I got in, it would be like Stars in Their Eyes. I'd keep looking back and just waving. I'm going to be fucked up, man. Yeah, honestly, I would honestly just keep looking back and just waving, blowing kisses and shit. It'd be incredible. So the gig must have been mental.
Yeah, of course, because no one's got their phone out. Really and truly, that's like the biggest difference. Do you know what I mean? Because as well, our live show is a bit it's a bit different. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think a lot of people are used to seeing that type of music performed in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't, like, the drums is the only live instrument that we have. And then kind of we have all this kind of little mad scientist set up and that we run everything through.
Yeah, so it's like, not the sort of setup you'd associate with anything punk related.
Yeah, exactly. So, usually there's people kind of figuring it out in their head and got their phone out, I guess, to document, like everybody does with everything kind of these days.
Yeah.
But because there was nobody with their phone out and that, do you get me? Like, it was just...
That
just
must be a weird
It was
feeling.
Just incredible, man. Yeah. It was just it was the best. Like, that is obviously the first gig we've ever played where nobody's had their phone. Like,
that must
nobody.
Be the closest thing to time travel.
Yeah.
That we can actually, you know, do, like, you know, participate
it was weird.
In
it was
right
weird.
Now.
Like, nobody's even checking their phones because, you know what I mean? Like,
what's
not,
the point?
Yeah, what's the point? So, like, no one's checking their phones. No one's, like, updating anything. No one's... You know what I mean? No one's got a flash in your face.
Well,
and it was just crazy, man. We was going nuts.
Unless they've got
the
futuristic glasses on with the camera.
That's
what I would do.
That's genius.
But I wouldn't do it if I was there, but I would.
No, you'd switch them off with the burger. Hand in your glasses.
Yeah, can we test the glasses, please? Put a sticker on either side. What? I can't see. I think that's what, no. Don't take photos. It's nice, actually, not to. Just to watch things
especially,
with your eyes.
Especially as a performer. It's just like, I mean, I understand it because people... want to document their you know what I mean, want to document their life, and obviously as a band it's super helpful because people then share it and tag it and we can repost it and rare to tear.
Exactly. But the amount of times you know you get into an act because you've seen them showcased by someone that you trust.
Yeah, exactly. And funny enough, that's how we got that gig.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? It's how we got that gig. If somebody saw something that was posted up and was like, okay, yeah, these guys are perfect for this thing.
Amazing.
So, but it is, like, it was nice. Do you know what I mean? It was nice. But
remember earlier on, I said that, like, you know, Faith Evans having the song You Used to Love Me was, like, you know, relevant to the conversation we're having with a punk artist. You have a penchant for R&B yourself, don't you? Because I'm pretty sure I saw you recently tweet that Donnell Jones is Where I Wanna Be album.
I agreed, mate.
I instantly became a fan of you as a person when I read that. We recently had Donnell Jones on the show.
Yeah, no way.
Yes, mate. He proceeds to use the same mic, bro. You're breathing his sinus particles. I don't even know what the fuck.
But it's the same mic that he used only. I think he won the game, so it's a lucky mic.
That's a lucky mic. Right. Yeah. So we are big Donnell Jones. Donnell Jones and just 90s R&B, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is about.
Big album, man.
Absolutely,
that's like a perfect perfect R&B.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, absolutely. You know, it's underrated. People like will talk about, you know,
oh, Usher, what's My Way.
Like, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, really big. That's another one. Underrated one, because people will always talk about 8701 or Confessions as the big Usher albums. But people forget
the early
My
ones,
Way.
The early ones are 100% the better ones.
30. Yeah, you know what I mean? 30. Are you crazy?
But that Donnell Jones, like, I think that's the best of that time.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I just think that's amazing. Like, the production on there is not. It's not exaggerated. It's like, it's just, it's right there.
Everything man. About
Everything
it is
about
loving.
It is right there. And like the kind of like the guitar, the acoustic guitar solos and stuff like that. Amazing, man.
Fair
and then
play.
Like, obviously, you've got, so what?
Yeah. That which is like, the breakout big, hit. Like, yeah, exactly. Of course.
That's the breakout hit. But, and then you get into the album and the rest of the album is not like that. You know what I mean?
You're
like, the rest of the album
right.
is not like that. So
you're
he knew, right. okay, cool. Let me grab people in with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yo, and then once you're in that album, you're in it.
Love it.
So yeah.
Love that. Love that. Love that. Is that the kind of most when it comes to your music listening taste? Is that the most surprising thing that people would find out about you?
Probably not. I don't know. Probably not. I don't know. It depends, innit? Because I think some people would expect me to listen to straight up punk music.
Yeah,
some
exactly.
Some people might expect me to just listen to rap music or whatever. I think R&B is probably quite like a. I mean, it comes out of left field a little bit.
Yeah.
But
you can't really trust people that don't like R&B.
Yeah,
I think.
Oh, no way.
But they say, you know what I mean? They might not admit it, but you know what I mean? I can't trust people that, I don't know.
There's a lot of lies going around when people talk about the music that they do and don't like.
You're
and the music
right.
that they first kind of like. Like, oh, this is the first of this album that I heard. It's not because it's way too cool.
Yeah, exactly. How did you start it's so cool? Too cool? Bollocks.
But saying that, I have, my first album that I brought with my own money is a really cool album.
Fair play.
So it's what album? Ghostface Killah, Iron Man.
Listen.
Okay.
I like the way he said
with my own money. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But the first album that was like, that I can kind of remember getting gifted to me was, I think, it's pretty cool as well, actually. It's like WWF. Entrance
music.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I heard that.
I've still got the CD. Yeah.
And that's really cool in a nostalgic kind of way, isn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Sure.
Wait, what era was it though? Was it like the Stone Cold Steve Austin era?
Was it John
Cena?
It was like well, it was like D-Generation X.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like coming off the what they call it. The Attitude era.
Yeah,
exactly. So it was kind of like that sort of thing. You know what I mean, like that. Fuck it, two tears in a bucket. Like that's on there.
Fair play. Well, we should get into some Bob Villain music because we've got quite a bit more chatting to do and a game, of course.
Yeah,
for now, if you do us the honour of introducing this song,
this one is We Don't Care, and it's dedicated to all the middle class kids that dress like hobos. And,
Chasing yuppies off, it ain't safe on the block. We chasing yuppies off, it ain't safe on the block. We chasing yuppies off, it ain't safe on the block.
We got skipped on this one, trust me.
All your protesting and your master's degree didn't teach you not to flinch when you pass me on the street. Didn't teach you you should ask before you try and touch my hair. Didn't teach you we don't need you, we don't want you, we don't care for you. Fake political high spirit individuals, upper class marks dressed as working class liberals. With your press group, can you say before your dinner's due? They don't need you, they don't want you, they're fucking sick of you. We don't care. Go home. We don't care. Go home. Joggers tucked in socks, baby hair slicked down. Shopping at the retro spot cause old clothes are sick now. Gentrified communities, daddy paying uni fees. Grabbing lunch at Morley's but still use a silver spoon to eat. Kept her on the playlist, fetishize the state life. Running round the city as though you were never raised right. How much MD can you bang before the daylight? And beg mommy, send some more money for the rave tonight. We don't care. Go home. We don't care. Go home. We don't care about your 9-month journey through South America. We don't fucking care about all the kids you helped in Senegal. We don't fucking care if you just got a new 35mm camera and used it to take a banging picture of B-Double at Esky Dance. No, we don't fucking care!
Nice. Bob Villain, yeah. one of them joins us in the studio right now.
One of the Bobbies.
Yeah. Natalie, that actually forced you to scream towards the end, didn't it?
Oh, we're about to come on back.
Didn't have my headphones on, so Natalie got into the punk spirit.
Yeah, well, I'm always in the punk spirit, really.
You are always in the punk spirit. Thank to you. Be fair, painted nails.
Well, you know, I have talked about, I am. I see something that I talked about with Killer Keller when he came in. Yeah. Is that I did, like, when I was really, really young, and I went to that Sex Pistols day in Finsbury Park with the Buzzcocks and Stiff Little Fingers and Iggy Pop.
Amazing.
I was definitely too young. Skunk Anansie, and I was too young to appreciate at that age, but I loved it.
Yeah.
So I am been quite into my punk.
Fair play, Rebel.
Thank
Rebel.
You. David Bowie, not punk.
Well, we should get into a game, shouldn't we?
Yeah, we should. Right, so let me find my bit. Oh, here it is. So Bob Villain. Don't know if you're aware, but YouGov, the website, allows the public to give their opinions on celebrities. The results leave a percentage rating. So I'm going to give you six pairs of celebrities.
Right.
I just want you to tell me who is the villain in that pair, as in who has the lower public score.
Okay.
So I think everyone can play this, right?
Well, one
we're
time.
We're all going to have a go. One time.
So every time you answer,
yeah,
all
you all
answer.
Have a go. Okay. So cool. I've got clips, obviously, to demonstrate who they are, even though you know. Let's start with Beyonce. This is female megastar, number one.
This is talking about the individual themselves. It's not about the song.
Not the song. Okay. It's the Beyonce or Rihanna.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Who's least like that?
That's mad.
Rihanna.
In terms of popular opinions, you're
going to
say
agree.
That she has
lower. I'd say she's the villain.
She's the villain.
Yeah, she's the villain. Yeah.
No, it's actually Beyonce.
Right. Really?
Yeah, I'd say she's more divisive.
Step your shit up, man. What's wrong with you, though?
Go vote on YouGov.
Exactly.
Well, Rihanna's got 48%, and then Beyonce's got 46%. So
right.
It's close. So let's move on to the frequent collaborators round with
Dr. Dre is the name. I'm ahead of my game. Still puffing my leaf. Still fucking the police.
Same song. Between Dre and Snoop.
Yeah, Dre and Snoop.
Who's least like?
Least. Lower on the public opinion score, according to YouGov, so whatever. But you know.
I'll probably say Dre.
Dre? Yeah. Okay.
What I'm going to go Snoop. Villain.
I'm going to go Snoop as well.
Point there for Bob. Be villain. It is, fair. In fact, Dre. Snoop's got 44%, Dre's got 38%.
Okay.
So we're moving to some of my favourites now, with Eminem. Not my favourite song of his, but.
Fucking hell, this is so far down in my list of favourites.
This is like, not in my top.
Who chose the clips?
I didn't choose that song because I don't like that song. But I did choose this song because I love the song and I love this man. It's Beck. Where's that? Banger. So, Beck.
Eminem and Peck.
Or Eminem.
I don't know what Beck's fan base is saying.
Well, have a guess. What do you reckon?
Are they hitting up YouGov regularly?
Do you know what? They're probably more the type than an Eminem fan.
Right, it's true. Okay, they're probably also Scientologists.
But,
like Beck.
So who do you think is lower then, Beck or Eminem?
I'm going to say Beck.
Beck's the villain. No, Eminem's more divisive. I'm going to go Eminem. Eminem's the villain.
Eminem's the villain. What are you saying, Bob Villain?
I'll go with Beck.
You get points for that. You're right.
Fuck's sake!
Beck. Beck is 27. Shame on you. And Eminem is 44. Even though I do like Eminem, I would have gone for Beck every time.
But shame on me, though. You should be shaming the people that are voting for these guys.
That's what I was talking to. Oh. Not you. I would never be disrespectful. Shame on you, Michael Payne. Now, I'm furious about Beck being so low. Okay, so moving on to Independence Day. Let's start with...
Put your car on cruise and lay back because it's summertime.
Of course. Talking about Independence, I found this one earlier. And versus Jeff Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum laughing. Little remix. Right, Jeff Goldblum or Will Smith?
Goldblum.
Who is lower? The villain.
Bob Villain.
Who do you think? Yeah, Goldblum.
I'm going to go Goldblum as well.
Yeah, points nice. There. And because Jeff Goldblum's on 53 and Will Smith has 73. Very Ooh. High.
That's very high.
Going on to best rappers ever. Vanilla Ice.
yeah. I think this is probably
didn't go for Ice Ice Baby on it.
Even if Satan's the next person, Vanilla Ice will still be the villain.
Okay. Let's have a listen. Or Ali G.
Sorry.
Vanilla Ice. Really, I would have gone Hammer, but he wasn't even on. He's not even on YouGov. MC Hammer's not there.
He's not even on
which
there.
Which is weird that Vanilla Ice is, right? And MC Hammer isn't.
I'm saying Ali G.
Ali G's lower than Vanilla Ice. Okay.
I'm saying Vanilla Ice.
Okay. Bob Villain, what are you saying?
Ali G or Vanilla Ice?
It's tough. It's a tough one. Because they're both.
Yeah, I would probably say that Vanilla Ice.
Point for Marcel there. It is in fact Ali G. Well, Sacha Baron Cohen, Ali G, 28%. Vanilla Ice is 29%. So
what's his real name again?
Sacha Baron Cohen.
No, but Vanilla Ice is
Robert Van Winkle.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay.
That's a mad name.
It is. Isn't it?
And then, okay, moving on to Childish Gambino. What do bitch? Why do you thought the rappers do shit stupid? Why they be sleeping on me on a that new shit? Why they be sleeping on me on a that new shit? Yeah. Why did you bitch? Versus Donald Glover.
What?
They're both on there.
I'm gonna say Childish Gambino is the villain.
I'm gonna say Childish Gambino is the villain.
Yeah, you're all right. Yeah.
Yes, all right, I get right. A point at last.
Childish Gambino is on 25%. And Donald Glover is on 45%.
Fair. It's quite a because Donald Glover's though. Been in he's been in like big movies and stuff.
He's been in Community as a wider personality.
Okay, well done to
Bob Villain.
In second place, Michael Payne. But in joint first place is Marcel and Bob Villain.
Joint first place.
Well done, sir. Yeah, well done, sir.
Yeah, joint first place. I'll put on that.
No, I've got four here.
You've got a tiebreaker.
Shout something in my ear, Will. No, I've got a lot of clips. We're fine. Shout some people.
Just shout in her ear, Will.
Public Enemy and... Who? Tribe Called Quest. You check they're on there. I don't know. He's furious. What would you say between Public Enemy, Tribe Called Quest?
It's out of these two.
It is out of you two. Sorry, God, yeah. I mean, obviously, Q-Tip.
I mean, who's
the villain out of Tribe Called Quest and Public Enemy?
Tribe Called Quest, Public Enemy. Let's both hope they're on YouGov or just make up some stats. Well, I don't mind either.
I'll probably say Public Enemy.
Public Enemy. Yeah. So you're both going to go with Public Enemy.
And
well,
then
what
we need
saying?
Another tiebreaker.
What are you saying, Will? Oh, you can't go for both, make you argue.
Oh, I don't want to argue. I'll take the joint.
You're going to say Tribe Called Quest. Good.
No. I'll take the public. I'm for Public Enemy.
You're Public Enemy, so you've gone for a Tribe Called Quest by default.
You've defaulted to a Tribe Called Quest.
Who said a Tribe Called Quest? Marcel did. Marcel win.
He said me.
And you were really furious then with crossed arms going, I didn't vote.
I heard him cheating on the other game as well.
Right? You must be a regular listener. That's every week. I don't know what.
Did you cheat on the other game?
No, how did I cheat on the other game?
You were playing the thing and you said...
He said Grimes.
Yeah, exactly.
He said Katie.
What do you mean? I said Katie B, yeah?
You went Katie B, Grimes, which nah. is...
I said,
no,
I said Katie B, yeah, Grimes.
That's not what you said.
I'm listening back to the show. If you want to listen back to the show and tell us whether Marcel is a serial cheater, you can. on the soon to be defunct iTunes, you can listen on Spotify, obviously. That's going to be around for a while.
You'll still be on iTunes in some form, whatever the new
app. But isn't iTunes just getting like taken off?
Like this, well, yeah, as a concept, but it's good, like the iPhone, it's going to move into three different apps.
Oh yeah, podcasts,
radio, and orgies, and orgies. Yeah.
Apple orgies.
Yeah.
Thank you to all our guests for coming through. Big thank you to Bobby from Bob Villain. Big shout out to them, and big shout out to Adrian Stone, the most interesting guest we've ever had.
That's a bit rude.
As far as the concept of being a guest goes, if you get what I'm saying to you, the reason that you are a guest, you are a very interesting guest, don't get me wrong. You've played fucking Burger.
We'll wait to see when you're
around definitely up there. You're definitely up there. But Adrian Stone, the genealogist. Genealogy is obviously something that is super interesting. Can I get a witness?
Yes.
Yeah, he hasn't played Bergheim there, sir.
Right. He hasn't played Bergheim.
Callum is literally going to walk into the studio.
Callum is about to walk into the studio.
So let's finish.
couldn't pay the interest, away at the function. Needed good resistance, thinking of diving. Or maybe I might sit right back where we started. But I know how to make you fart.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.